is a Redeemer, Emmanuel, who rescued for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you, Darwin and Mark, for helping us worship. Well, if we are honest with ourselves, every one of us here will agree with me that we all have longings in our hearts. In fact, we may have secret longings too deep to share with others. Perhaps a desire for marriage, a work or ministry we would like to perform, a dream job, a dream house, a dream vacation, a special place to serve, a great amount of riches to live comfortably, and a carefree life, or good health. The list of longings goes on. If I were to open the floor for each one of us to share the secret longings of our hearts, it will take us till next morning. So I'm not going to do that. Perhaps you have learned or are learning that God doesn't fulfill every longing in our hearts because some of these longings are selfish. That's why it is important for us to put each desire in God's hands and pray, Lord, you choose for me. I will not choose for myself. Today, the Bible is going to tell us about a man who made his own choice about a selfish desire he had in his heart. When the opportunity came for him to make this choice, this man did not hesitate. He did not hold back. He wholeheartedly made that selfish choice for himself. But unfortunately, choosing for himself will lead to a great loss in his life. Oh, if he had let God choose for him, what a different outcome he would have had in his life. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given to me to deliver to you from his word today at this urgent hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Spirit of truth, is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's precious and powerful truth, so that those who are believers in Jesus Christ among us here today will be transformed, changed more and more into the glorious image of Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom and the builder of the church, and to also convict those who are not believers from their sin of unbelief, so that they will be led into personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of sinners. So here is my message to you in a nutshell. Would you please listen carefully to it with an open heart and an open mind? The Bible is going to teach us an important lesson. Listen, it is always best, or always the best course for believers to let God choose and to follow his direction. Let me repeat. It is always the best course for believers to let God choose and to follow His direction. Folks, friends, and those of you who are faithful followers of Christ and faithful believers in Christ, in the family and fellowship of God, the Bible is going to make it clear to us today that choosing for yourself, that is choosing to satisfy your own selfish desires, is a recipe for disaster and disappointment. The Bible is also going to show us that those who leave the choices to God will be blessed more than those who choose selfishly for themselves. God is going to show you that His choices are prompted by His infinite wisdom, His unconditional, unchanging, unending, and unfailing love. And because of that, He is always going to give you the ultimate best if you leave the choice to Him. But if you choose for yourself selfishly, you miss His unconditional and ultimate best that He has for you. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to the very first book of the Bible. Would you please carefully listen as I recite our gospel story today from the first book of the Bible, that is Genesis, chapter 13, verse 8 to 13. That's where our gospel story is going to come from. The Bible says to us, from the updated New American Standard Bible, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me, if to the left, then I will go to the right. If to the right, then I will go to the left.' Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the Jordan Valley, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So, listen carefully now, Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed eastward, thus they separated. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as to Sodom. He moved his tent as far as to Sodom." You are not Sodom, but I just want to illustrate that. Amen. "Now, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord." This is the word of God to the people of God. And may the Lord add His blessing to the recital of His holy word. "In Abram's day, sheep and cattle owners could acquire great wealth. Abram's wealth not only included silver and gold, but also livestock. These animals were a valuable commodity used for food, clothing, tent material, and sacrifices." So you can see how important it is for those people to have livestock. "It could be used for food, clothing, tent material, and sacrifices. Moreover, they were often traded for other goods and services. Because of God's blessing upon Abram, he was able to watch his wealth grow and multiply daily. Lot, the nephew of Abram, had also become rich, In fact, their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. The Bible therefore tells us of an unhappy falling out between Abram and Lot, who had previously been inseparable. Can you remember an unhappy falling out you had recently? Well, multiply that by 10,000 and you understand what we are talking here. Well, you see, poverty and troubles, wants and wanderings could not separate between Abram and Lot, but riches did. When they became rich, that's when they separated. It wasn't when they were poor. Can you imagine that? I tell you, friends, riches are often an occasion of strife and contention among family members, friends, fellow workers, and even followers of Christ. That's just food for thought as we dig now into our passage. Now the question is, what lessons is the Holy Spirit desiring to teach each one of us here and impress them upon our hearts in a situation that is potentially explosive? Well, the first spiritual lesson the Holy Spirit is eager to impress upon your heart and my heart is this, is the lesson of contentment of Abram in verses 8 to 9. I tell you, friends, listen carefully, contentment comes when we want God's will more than we want our own way. That's how you be content. That's how I'll be content. If I desire God's will more than I want my own way, then I'm in a place, in a situation where I can be content. Abram was content to let God choose for him. Are you a person who demonstrates genuine contentment in your life because you want God's will more than you want your own way? Facing a potential conflict with his nephew, Lot, who is called Lot, Abram took the initiative in settling the dispute. I believe before Abram took the initiative to settle this dispute, he prayed to God, the Lord his God, to ask for his wisdom and his guidance. Remember in the same chapter, in verse 4 of the same chapter, the Bible tells us Abram went to the altar, to the place of the altar where he bowed before, and he called on the name of the Lord. Before all this thing will happen, Abram called on the name of the Lord. What was he doing by calling on the name of the Lord? He was putting his life and circumstances in his hands. He was asking God for guidance and direction for his life. Because God knows the future far better than you and I know the future. And so Abraham put his life, his circumstances, his future in the hands of God, calling upon the name of the Lord. So please understand that Abraham was not leaning on his own little puny understanding when he made the proposal of peace. Rather, he was following God's direction for his life in this situation. He was acting according to God's will for his life at this time. Notice what the Bible says in verse 8 and 9. It says, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we are what? Brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. If to the right, then I will go to the left.'" So this was Abraham's proposal for peace. Now notice, in making his proposal for peace, Abraham was very, very polite, not pushy. He was courteous, not crude. You notice the first words that came out of his mouth? Please, let there be no strife. Now remember, Abraham is older than Lot. Then again he says, please, separate from me. He didn't expel him. He didn't command him to depart from his presence. He says, please. Why? Because Abraham is seeking peace in this situation. He wants, if they are ever to separate, let's separate as friends. Mm-hmm. Not only that, Abraham was generous and gracious, not greedy and grumpy. Always generous, Abraham gave his young nephew the opportunity to choose the land he wanted. Even though, being older and the leader of this company, Abraham had the right to choose first. Yet, he gave Lot first choice. There was all the reason in the world that Abraham should choose first. Yet, he gladly, generously, and willingly said to Lot, you choose first. Abraham also showed in this situation a willingness to risk being cheated, because this man was selfless, not self-centered. He waived his right to seniority in this situation. You see, Abraham had the confident assurance that the Lord his God would so direct the decision to leave the choice to Lot that his promise to him will be fulfilled no matter what. And that's exactly what happened in Abraham's life. He didn't lose the land of Canaan. God gave it to him. To put an end to the strife between the herdsmen, Abraham proposed to Lot that they should separate, as strife or conflict or dispute was unseemly between men who are brothers or relatives or fellow countrymen or companions sojourning together in a foreign land. Remember, at this time, Abraham didn't own a piece of this land that God had promised him. He was a foreigner in a foreign land with his nephew Lot. I tell you, folks, Abraham was very caring and content, not crafty and covetous. Please let me repeat what I said about contentment again. That is, contentment comes when you want God's will more than your own way. There were times in Abraham's life, I will not tell you that Abraham was perfect. There were times in his life when he wanted his own way and went his own way. But in this situation, he said, I've come to the point where I want God's will more than my own way. Now, before I go any further, it is important to bring to your attention two things about the situation Abraham and Lot were facing. First of all, the situation was very dangerous. But you see, how do you know that? Well, I'm glad to answer your question. Notice the Bible tells us in verse 7 that at the time, Abraham and Lot's herdsmen were having dispute or conflict or strife. There were some people in the land. Who were they? The Canaanites and the Perizzites. Now, these folks were not friends. They were foes of Abraham and Lot. They were not helpful friends or neighbors. They were hostile enemies. If the quarrel was not resolved quickly, these common enemies could have come upon them, attacked them, and plundered them both. So this made the situation very dangerous. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, they were already eagerly looking for such a moment of division, discord, dissension, and then they will move in for the kill. So that was why the Bible, sometimes when the Bible puts words before we read, we think that, oh, these words are just there to fill the pages. No, those words, the Perizzites and the Canaanites, were there to point to us that Abraham was living in a hostile environment while this conflict was going on. And if it continued, these people who were the enemies, when they see that they are divided, they can easily conquer. That's the strategy of the enemy. You divide, you conquer easily. Well, second, if the dispute was left unresolved, it will bring dishonor to God's name. But you say, what do you mean by that? You see, the eyes of the Perizzites and the Canaanites were on Abraham and Lot and all those who came with them. They will be saying, look at them. They are fighting among themselves. When they came into this land and built an altar to the living and true God, how we looked up to Abraham. We thought he was such a wonderful man of God. We knew he was honest. We knew he was trustworthy and truthful. But look at him now. Look at Lot. Look at the herdsmen. Look at the strife they're having. Instead of pulling together, look at them. They are letting petty jealousies tear them apart. What a dishonor it would have been to the name of God if this dispute had not been settled. Well, similar situation as this today. Christians often bicker among themselves while Satan is at work all around them. You see, rivalries, disputes, disagreements among Christians can be very, very destructive. For example, Presbyterians, when Presbyterians, Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, Reformed Christians, or Evangelicals fight among themselves, do you know who is watching? The unbelievers watch and know all about it. They often say, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. I can get a fight outside of the church. I don't need to join the church to get a fight. So this situation was explosive. Now, we can all agree that life presents a series of choices to us. Some choices, listen carefully, some choices move us forward in God. Other choices move us farther away from God's good and gracious purposes for our lives. We also know, each one of us here know, that choices have consequences. Let's all say, choices have consequences. Exactly. Some consequences are small, some are big or significant. Well, the Bible now brings us to the second lesson, which deals with the selfish choice of Lot in verses 10 to 11. Now, the name Lot means covering. I tell you, friends, Lot didn't waste any time at all in making his choice in this situation. Immediately after Abraham finished presenting the offer to choose first, Lot pounced on it and made his choice, a choice that will move him farther away from God's good and gracious purposes for his life and for his family. Notice the Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So, Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed eastward, thus they separated. He chose all. He didn't even leave a square inch for his uncle. You see, on such an occasion, one would have expected that Mr. Covering, Lot, that is his name, it means covering, should have expressed unwillingness to part from Abraham. That he should have been so respectful as to have giving back the choice to Abraham. Uncle, you must choose first before I choose. But we find no such deference or respect to his uncle. Furthermore, the Bible doesn't tell us that Lot took the time to pray and ask God his direction and will in this historic moment in his life. He didn't seek God's counsel. That's why the Bible didn't tell us that he prayed. It is as if Lot has been thinking about this choice for some time now. It's like you and I do. When we want something, we've been thinking about it. And when the opportunity presents itself, we pounce on it. So Lot was thinking about this land, the Valley of the Jordan. Isn't that a beautiful spot there? My, it looks so attractive down there. It's my dream pasture. You see, the grass is always greener in the other pasture. That's the point here for Lot. As someone has said, he, Lot, got grass for his cattle, while Abram got grace for his children. Lot went straight for the greener pasture, just like you and I do often. We go straight for the greener pasture. Oh yes, from the world's point of view, Lot's choice was an excellent choice. But may I say to us today that it was a selfish choice that will lead to disaster and disappointment in the long run. You see, Lot's character is revealed by his choices. He took the best share of the land, even though it meant living near Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities whose name became proverbial for vile wickedness and divine judgment on sin. I tell you, friends, Lot was greedy, wanting all the best of the land for himself, without thinking about his uncle Abram's needs. He chose for himself all of the valley, leaving not even a square inch for his uncle. Pastor Ray Steadman wrote this about Lot. He says, Lot, presuming to run his own life, chose for himself, and deceived by what he saw, stumbled blindly into heartache and judgment. Abram, on the other hand, was content to let God choose for him. Lot chose for himself and lost everything: his family, his fortune, his favor with men. How sad. Some of you here have also made choices and have lost family, friends, and even your jobs and your future. The Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes. Lot saw. Lot chose. And Lot journeyed eastward. And Lot settled and moved his tent as far as Sodom. After taking a keen look at the land and considering it to be the best, he made a careful, well-thought choice, which brought him momentary delight and satisfaction. But in the long run, it brought what? Disaster and suffering for his life. So how does this story apply to you and me as I bring this message to a close? Do you know that like Lot, your character and my character is revealed by our choices?
Yes.
You two can choose the best, yet your best, like Lot, will be a choice that is selfish because it ignores the will of God and the needs of others. This kind of choice, as Lot's life shows, leads to problems. Please listen. When you stop making choices in God's direction, your only option is to make choices in the wrong direction. That's what we have. If I stop choosing to follow the ways of God, the only option I have is to choose what? The way of the enemy. And that is a proven recipe for disaster and disappointment. Today, listen carefully. Jesus wants to choose for you a life of deliverance in Him. But some of you say, no, I'm choosing for myself a life of drugs. Today, Jesus wants to choose for you a life of acceptance in Him, where you experience and enjoy His love, His grace, His peace. But you say, no, I'm choosing for myself a life of alcoholism. Today, Jesus wants to choose for you a life of redemption. But you say, no, I'm choosing to run my own life. Today, Jesus wants to choose for you a life of fullness and freedom in Him, where you will know that you are loved, accepted, valued in His sight. But you said, no, I'm choosing for myself a life of following my selfish desires, flirting with all kinds of sins, immorality, impurity, and all kinds of sins. If you are a born again believer in Jesus and have realized today that you have stopped making choices in God's direction, I humbly urge you to make things right with Jesus tonight. Tell Jesus you are deeply, deeply sorry that your selfish choices have only led to more problems in your life. That is the case in most of your life, and that is the case in my life. It's my selfish choices that can lead to more problems in my life. Trust Jesus today, not only to forgive and cleanse you from your sins, but also strengthen and sustain you to allow you to choose for you, to allow Him to choose for you, and for you to follow Him. And then thank Jesus for not giving up on you. If you are a believer in Jesus, Jesus has not given up on you. Amen. I want you to know that. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I honestly say to you today that the choices you are making to run your own life have what? Eternal consequences. If you continue on this path of making selfish choices to run your own life, you'll be separated from the loving presence of the loving Jesus. But that doesn't have to be the way your future ends. Today you can change, that can be changed for you simply by what? Believing in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Or you shall be saved. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you realize that even today you have made choices that have not honored Jesus, they were selfish choices, and you want forgiveness, you want cleansing, you want strength to be able to make the choices that He wants you to make or to allow Him to choose for you, then you come here and we will pray with you to be strengthened so that tomorrow, when the temptations come, you can say, Jesus will be my strength to choose right. Now, if you are not a believer, you have never put your trust in Jesus Christ, you come here to me and we will pray so that you make the best choice of your life today. That is to give your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
It's awesome.